What I'm interested in is this new show called, maybe you guys have heard of it. I'm very excited about it. It's called On the Roam. And this stars Jason Momoa, who you might know as Aquaman. And
sure.
Aquaman 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, On the Roam is an 8-part cinematic docuseries following Jason Momoa as he travels the country chasing art, adventure, and friendship. Now, this sounds amazing, guys. The first two episodes dropped, and they're ready to go. The first one is called Revival of the Rumble. Jason's journey begins with inspiration from an iconic vintage hill climbers. And this looks amazing. The clothes are insane. And you'll find out in a second, clothes are very important to Jason Momoa. In episode 2, Painting with Light, Jason meets his personal hero and one of his top creative inspirations, renowned photographer Todd Hedo. This guy does amazing photos, and they've been collaborating for a long time. That's not all. Jason now has a line of clothing out. He's collaborated with So Ill founder Daniel Chandler, and they are introduced by a mutual friend in LA, and it sparked an immediate connection after finding out their involvement in climbing started around the same point in time. In Jason's words, climbing found me. It blessed me, and I fell in love with it. Jason Momoa had been a longtime fan of So Ill brand, and his relationship quickly sparked into a friendship. Jason sought out his friends at So Ill to collaborate on a signature line of outdoor products, lifestyle approach shoes, climbing shoes, waterproof outdoor bags, and chalk bags, dedicated to honoring those who roam, with the intent of unlocking the free spirit inside of us all. By definition, roamers are said to be aimless, but we prefer the term unhindered, led by a spirit of freedom. We welcome you to the launch of So Ill, On the Roam collaboration by Jason Momoa. Prepare for what's ahead.
Sounds
pretty, yeah, it sounds special. It sounds like it's different from all the other stuff that's out right now.
Yes.
That's Tribe.
Yeah.
Definitely had a hint of Tribe. That's what drew me to it.
Yeah.
You know, the shoes, the chalk bags. I mean, all of it is about the fundamentals, the things that we care about. Roaming, Loy, Tribe. And I've never met the man. I'd love to break bread with him, meet up with him, and just get his take on those things. And I'd extend an invite to him to come on the show anytime he wants.
Welcome to the Fantasy Cast podcast, where three grown men pass the time by sharing their deepest, darkest fantasies. Here we go.
Yeah. You know, if he wants to come on and just talk about, you know, talk about what makes him tick, talk about the different ways that what Tribe looks like to him, I would love that. I would love to pick his brain. He's been really an inspiration to a lot of us on this podcast, but a lot of our listeners as well.
Definitely. Seems like a guy that always has a longboard in his car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if he sees some smooth concrete, he'll get it out and just roll around for a while.
Barefoot. Sure. Just like think chat. Yeah. I love that. So Nathan, I noticed you're struggling with your microphone. Is everything going good with it now?
Yeah, hopefully it's good. I mean, I'm glad you brought it up because I have something I want to say to you guys. With Mike's help, I prepared a letter that I wanted to read to our listeners and I wanted to read to you guys. The letter is an apology and commitment to restorative action. Dear listeners, dear Mike, dear John, I hope this message finds you well. I'm writing to sincerely apologize for my lack of preparation and commitment during our scheduled podcast recording session last time. I understand the importance of our collaboration and the impact of my actions may have had on our shared goals. I want to acknowledge the frustration and disappointment I may have caused by not being adequately prepared for the recording. I take full responsibility for my actions and the impact they had on you and our project. I recognize that an apology alone may not be sufficient. I am committed to taking concrete steps to make amends and rebuild trust. To that end, I am proposing the following actions. 1. Preparation commitment. I will ensure that I am thoroughly prepared for all future podcast recording sessions. This includes researching and familiarizing myself with the topics we plan to discuss and addressing any technical or logistical considerations in advance. 2. Communication improvement. I understand the importance of clear communication in our collaboration. I will make a conscious effort to keep you informed about my progress, challenges, and my potential issues that may arise in the future. 3. Learning and growth. I will actively seek resources and tools to improve my organizational and time commitment skills to prevent similar situations in the future. I am dedicated to personal and professional growth. I want to emphasize my commitment to the success of our podcast and to our partnership. I understand the importance of reliability and accountability, and I am determined to demonstrate these qualities moving forward. On a personal note, you know, I feel like a worm. I feel like a slug, like a lowly piece of shit on the ground, you know, that's just to be stepped on and berated and belittled. I want to open myself up to any punishment that you guys want to enact upon me, demoralize me, denigrate me, humiliate me, or objectify me in any way. I'm open to that, and I deserve it because I'm a filthy dog, and I deserve to be abused in that way. You know, I'm not going to list a bunch of excuses like, you know, my head has been just all wrapped up around all this stuff in the Middle East, not to mention this long COVID I've had for 3 years. That's really getting in the way of my ability to concentrate. I'm also dead broke. I've cobbled together my recording equipment based on things that I've been able to steal from the library. Those are all excuses. What I'm here to tell you is that I appreciate your understanding and patience as I work to rectify the situation. There are specific actions and expectations you would like to discuss further. Please feel free to let me know. I value our collaboration and look forward to creating more positive and productive experiences together. And thank you for your time and consideration. Sincerely, Nathan. God, that felt good. It felt good to get that off my chest, you know, like, it felt good to apologize, but there's something also really exciting about just, you know, putting myself in a position of vulnerability in a very private and primitive way. It's really freeing.
Hmm. Interesting. As for, you requested if we wanted to do anything else to you. I think the verdict is still out. I'm thinking about a couple things. I'll shoot you an email this week.
Okay. That sounds good.
Think of anything.
Yeah. Specifically, Mike, I want to apologize to you because my technical difficulties cut off a really important and meaningful anal fantasy that you were about to wrap up and you weren't able to complete it. You weren't able to air it. I hope to hear it soon in its entirety, and I hope our listeners can hear it as well.
See, that's the thing. I don't remember that. I honestly don't remember what you just said. So that's why it's important to come prepared, because that's lost forever now. So I don't know. Think about that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyways. So, Mike, I know you like to chit-chat a little bit, you know, before we get going. I don't really think people give a shit about what's going on in our lives, but I know you like to get warmed up in that way. So let's hear it. What's been going on with you?
Wow, this is really... You've never asked me that. I've never come prepared. Because you guys never fucking ask me what is going on in my life. My life, things are going good. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better family. My support system is absolutely amazing, incredible. Any problems I have, I go to someone, I talk to them. Chances are they tell me what to do, what's wrong, how to fix it, or they can send me off to someone else. Self-esteem is through the roof. I feel like I have no competition whatsoever, like in any field that I participate in, which is a good feeling to have. Mm-hmm. I have a beautiful wife. I have a beautiful daughter, and I'm like, I come from a lot of money, so I don't have to worry about a lot of stuff. Life's been pretty easy for me. Life is easy for me right now. So things are good. I got no complaints. I'm pretty content.
Yeah. You also fall into a lot of, just based on your connections of growing up with wealth, you fall into a lot of really exciting professional opportunities, high profile ones.
Well, there's like I collaborate on a couple streetwear things, like more than one. I have a record label that's pretty cool. I have this podcast. I have another podcast about like tribal loyalty called Tribe Quest. My Clovis Nation is going good. And I really, you know, it's true. I'm not jealous of anyone. When people are jealous of me, I don't even notice. I only find out later on. My wife tells me that person's jealous of you. That person's jealous of you. So, and even when I find that out, I usually feel like, you know, Forrest Gump, I don't know what to do with it. It doesn't equate to me because it doesn't matter, you know? So, John, how you been?
Good. Making good money. Family's happy. Everyone's well fed. I'm fucking harder than I've ever fucked. At 42, I'm fucking harder than I've ever fucked. And that's awesome. Bought another sex toy.
Oh, yeah?
It's the same sort of deal. It's just less. The rabbit ears are smaller. It's just a little too much. So
you spin the wheel?
I spin the wheel, yeah. They only send you... You spin the wheel and get a dildo. You can choose like 6-inch.
Yeah.
But it's very... It's very narrow.
Mm.
So it's like, it's more for, you know, a foreplay type dildo. It's not like you're not going to really use it to completion.
Yeah. It's not the main course.
Yeah. It's a good warm up. So yeah, I'm good.
Man, that's awesome. That's going to be a dildo summer.
Oh, yeah.
I have that prediction. I think by the time the summer rolls around, you're going to have a nice little entourage that you can bring with you.
Yeah. Fleet.
How cool would it be to have one that you can, you know, like when you used to, back when smoking weed was illegal, how you'd have like a little one hitter that you could keep in your shoe or something like that.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if you had a little bullet, you know?
Yeah, just a little pocket
dong. It looked like a keychain to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know what it was. I got an email from a listener I want to read to everybody.
Oh, cool.
So we get a bunch of emails to our email address. A lot of them I can't make heads or tails of it because they're in different languages. You know, because we broadcast all over the world. I think, as like we've said a couple different times, we've really gained popularity in countries where pornography is illegal because they utilize our fantasies for sexual stimulation, and it can kind of fly under the radar there. But this one comes from a young woman in the Philippines, and it's entitled, basically, I'm translating it from Tagalog, so it might be a little bit choppy, but it's basically like, please help. And she says, hello, John. Hello, Nathan. Hello, Mike. I recently broke up with my boyfriend of 3 years. We had a lot of problems. Namely, was that he was a sexual coward. And the word that they use is duwag, and it means coward, but like a kind of cowardice that brings shame to the people around them. So it's like, they're a coward that brings shame to their family or community or whatever. So this guy is a sexual coward. There's a guy in my office that I really like, and I'm really attracted to. I just got out of a long relationship with a sexual coward. I don't want to jump into a relationship with another sexual coward, but I'm not going to know until we actually have sex. What are some ways I can find out that he's a sexual warrior and not a sexual coward before I commit to this guy? So basically, like, trying to feel out, she wants to feel out if this guy is on her level before she invests any kind of time or energy into this relationship. What are some tips you guys have? Like, how can she suss this out from a dude?
I was thinking, if I was a woman and I wanted to test a guy at the office, I would, obviously, I'd wear something super slutty. Mm-hmm. I'd also bounce around a lot, like, in my chair. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Maybe have a little whale tail going.
Yeah.
Bring up sex a lot without saying too much, just trying to get him on the subject. I would get my hands lubricated by my own pussy and just have the smell just in, like, in the lunchroom sort of, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just kind of wafted through and see what happens.
I was
some freak shit.
Yeah, I was thinking something similar. I feel like we're on the same frequency. What I was thinking is, if I was a woman in that situation, I would moisten up my panties and hide them somewhere around this guy's desk.
Yeah.
And just sit back and see how he moves, you know? And throughout the course of the day, if he's unbothered by it, then you don't want to have anything to do with it. If he's tearing the office up trying to find the panties by around like 3 o'clock super, in the afternoon.
If he's super giddy.
Yeah.
Like, he's just really way more excited than he normally is.
Way more excited, but also, like, if he just gets crazed and is, like, tearing up his his desk trying to find it, then that's a keeper.
Yeah, that's a freak.
Yeah. But another idea that I had is if you go, before anybody gets there, show up early, go into the men's room, put up a bunch of, you know, nothing too crazy, but just, like, hustler photos that you made on the copy machine up in the restroom and in like the stalls and on the walls above all the, like, the urinals and things like that. And when this guy walks in the bathroom, you time him and you see how long he stays in there.
If he's
in there over 5 minutes, he's a keeper. If he's in there under 5 minutes, dump him.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
What are you thinking, Mike?
I'm thinking, like, take him out to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
And get some of those wings there. And you kind of got to set it up like a test. Like, maybe, I don't know if you're the boss of this guy or not, but maybe you forbid them from eating all day somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, you're like, okay, it's lunchtime. I'm sorry, we're going to have to eat after work. No lunch until then. Take them to Buffalo Wild Wings. Get a big pile of wings and put it at the end of the table. And you just make that guy as hungry as he possibly can. Then you know what you're going to do? You say, okay, you guys, I'm done talking to you. You can eat. You don't do anything. You just watch.
Mm-hmm.
You just watch. You just watch this guy eat those wings. And you can tell if his pinkies are up, you know what I mean? If he's just nibbling or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say to you? If this guy's sticking the whole thing in his mouth and sucking it out, you know what I mean? Barbecue sauce or whatever the hell all over his face. You have a freak on your hands. That's not a coward. You can even sprinkle a little bit of broken glass in there. See if that slows him down.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, you know that he's a warrior, a killer.
Yeah.
You know?
I like that. Yeah, no, that's pretty good. That's, you know, they're in the Philippines, so they have, like, different access to different kinds of flora, fauna, wildlife, things like that. I think if you brought some kind of animal, maybe like a, you know, some kind of pheasant or fowl into the office and had him try to catch it, and, you know, like, you play the damsel in distress. If he doesn't catch it, he's a coward. If he catches it and lets it go, he's a coward. If he catches it and kills it, he's a sexual warrior. If he catches it and kills it and eats it, prepares it for you,
it's marriage material.
Marry him. Yeah. Yeah, it's just something interesting to think about. I'm glad that our listeners are seeking advice. Like I said, I just basically picked the first one that came up because we get probably like 30 or 40 of these a day from God knows where.
Well, okay.
No, go ahead.
Well, I just like there to be a policy that anyone who listens, like I said, this is it is a relationship with the listeners, and I like to have the policy that our door is always open. People can come to our house. They can call us. They can email us anytime. So I am going to go through those emails. It's been a while. I've been a little busy. Like my child is teething right now.
Ugh.
So, and they had food poisoning, so I'm a little backed up. Oh, so any emails that are sent to us, I usually respond. If I don't respond directly, I use chat GPT or whatever to respond, which is like, you know, that's like my assistant or something.
Yeah. I mean, same. If you want to come over to my house, you want to show up to my kid's school, like, you know, I'm gonna be picking her up at the same time every day, so like that's where you can find me most days. Yeah, if you just want to tell me what's going on in your life, I can always put things on hold with my friends and family to hear about your sexual problems. I'm not going to say like I have all the answers, but if you need somebody just to listen to you and tell you everything's going to be okay, I'm your guy. I'll tell you one thing though, don't fuck with John at all. If he catches you creeping around his family, he will fucking fuck you up.
Leave me alone. John, I had this good idea. John, are you listening? What's
up? Yeah, I'm sorry.
And that's a big deal. John, I came up with this good idea last week where at Mike Lopez Nation, these meetings I have for like fantasy people, everyone puts their cell phone in a bag and we take turns pulling out the cell phone and looking at Instagram, and we try to analyze people's perverted pictures that show up under the search.
Oh, and like the explore page?
Yeah, and we use that to determine who it is. It's this idea I came up with last episode.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Thanks, John.
Yeah, it's good. Well, prophecy of the phone. I take everyone's phone. I find any nude photos that they have in their actual photos, and then I bribe them to get their phones back.
Yeah, I was doing the books for our taxes, and that actually came out to about 20% of our profits was from people paying to get their phones back. I'm feeling good about this so far. This feels real. The things that we're saying to each other tonight.
I made a latte. I usually have a Coca-Cola, but I'm all out. So I got coffee leftover, some milk. I warmed it up, put some sugar in there, microwaved it for a minute and a half. It's nice and hot.
Big. You're going to be up until like 6 o'clock the next morning.
It's just a little bit of coffee, just for the flavor. It's mostly about the sugar. Yeah, it's a shit show over here. All of our pipes froze.
Ugh.
Our washing machine won't work. I have to have a space heater on our furnace so that it drains condensation properly.
Damn.
This really sucks.
Mm. I'm sorry to hear that.
Nathan can't relate because Nathan's on the East Coast. It's not a big deal for him.
No, I live in a pretty warm climate.
So it's just, but it's falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
What about you, John? Are you pretty cool?
We're good. We're supposed to get a bunch of snow tonight.
Same.
But John, Nathan will probably melt for you, huh?
No, it's going to stick around. What's amazing about this area is that even if you get like, we're going to get like 3 inches of snow and they still shut everything down.
That's the swamp for you.
Anyways, this is the Fantasy Cast podcast. This is a really pretty intimate project that we're inviting you all to participate in whatever way you can. It's basically we're coming up with whatever sexual fantasies, or, you know, it doesn't have to be sexual. It could be violent murder fantasies, humiliation fantasies, you know, just anything that gets your blood moving. And we like to explore the different ways that we interpret the world in our deep, rich fantasy lives, because our day-to-day lives are void of much meaning. There's a lot of repetition, and we're neither of us are very spiritual, so we don't have any larger meaning or existential guidance towards any particular way to understand the world outside of, you know, just like a fantasy way that we immerse ourselves in our fantasy world, where we're spraying clown in space or busting ropes at 1,000 miles an hour, whatever that, you know, whatever it is. And it allows us to really express ourselves in a way that is fun and connect, you know, fosters connection and fulfillment. And this is a Fantasy Cast podcast. I heard from some people on Reddit that there was another podcast that started called Fantasy Family, which I think is a cheap fucking knockoff of ours. We're not them. We're different. We're entirely separate podcasts. So we're the originals. They are a offshoot of ours. I mean, it's to be expected. I see it as something that's pretty, honestly, flattering. But I'm not going to worry about that too much. So, yeah, I don't know if any of you guys wanted to start your fantasy this evening. If not, I'm always more than happy to get us warmed up, get us going. I'm feeling pretty sexually connected.
Nathan, why don't you take it away?
Oh, I was hoping you guys would say that. All right, so I'm living in a community where everybody knows me, and I work in the town. So I'm in a town of like a couple thousand people. I'm married, I have kids, and every couple of months, you know, maybe every 6 months, when I feel like I'm not getting any attention, or I feel like people are slighting me, or I get overlooked at work or something like that, I'll run off into the woods, and I've got a little, it's a tiny little shelter that I've made that I've covered up. I built it out of scrap wood and corrugated metal, and it's about 4 feet by six, probably like six and a half, 7 feet. Just long enough for me to lay down in. I've got a little cot in there. I've got some dirty magazines, a sleeping bag, little holes that I can peek out of. I put rocks on the floor to make it a little less muddy in there. And I just go and I hide there. I get real quiet so nobody can find me. And I can peek out and I can see everybody else. So after like I've been gone for a couple hours and people come looking for me, they don't know where I am. They can never find me, but I can see them. So I can peek out and I can see my wife saying like, Nathan, come back home. We miss you. We all miss you. We want you to, I'm sorry that I wasn't paying attention to you. And I didn't understand what you wanted for dinner. And I'm sorry, please come home. We all miss you. Or like my boss will be like, Nathan, we missed you at work today. Nothing got done because you weren't there. I'm so sorry that I didn't give you the raise that you deserved, or I wasn't paying enough attention to you. And I'm just looking out at them, just giggling, because they don't know where I am. They can't find me. They'll never be able to find me. And I'm in there all cozy and cozy and warm and just snuggled up in my little hiding place. And so one day in the summertime, I get, somebody walked by my, I just mowed the lawn, and somebody walked by my house and they said hi to me, but they didn't acknowledge the great job I did on the lawn. And so I got in my feelings and I ran out into the woods into my hiding spot. And I hid there and I hid there and I hid there. And it was just, it was really funny. And I felt really like proud of myself because nobody could find me. And I look out of the window and I'm like, oh man, it's getting kind of dark out there. I better head back. So I step out and I see a flash of green. I'm like, what is that? See another flash of green, and it's like the kind of like glow in the dark. It's like that kind of like, yeah, like the glow in the dark paint green, you know. And I see another flash of green. I'm like, what is happening? And I see like these human forms, and they're kind of like giggling and laughing, very whimsical. I don't feel threatened or scared by it, you know. I hear, and I'm like, who's out there? Who's there? And they're like,
take off your clothes, clothes, clothes. Take off your clothes, 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 and you can see us, and you can be with us.
And so I take off my shirt, I take off my pants, I take off my underwear, and all of a sudden it's revealed to me, and what's glowing is there's these, like, forest elves, and they're, like, fully-sized, you know, like, human-sized elves. And there's one woman, she's probably, like, royalty in the elf world. She's got a crown made out of a bunch of different flowers. She's got a long, flowing green dress. It's low cut, but it's dignified. Long, beautiful blonde hair. She's got a bow and an arrow on her back. There's like a big warrior elf with strong, like, leather pants with boots. And he's got a broadsword, and he's got a vest on. And then there's like a small female elf that looks like a warrior, like maybe a little bit more cunning. She's got a dagger, and all their clothes are made out of things from the woods and cordage that they made out of the woods, and they're all glowing. And then there's another elf that's a woman, and she's got like a big flowing dress made out of leaves and stuff like that, and she's got a tube top made out of bark, like bark from a tree, and these big fake titties, and you can see the bottom of the titties coming out of the bottom of the bark. And she's got just like big, beautiful flowing hair. Her belly button is pierced and her tongue is pierced. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is just this beautiful elf community. And they're like,
come with us. We want you to take part in our summertime celebration.
And they just take off running through the woods. And here I am naked. And I'm starting to get hard because I'm looking at this one elf with the big ass fake titties, right? And she's like sprinting through the woods, very nimble. And I'm following them. And I'm like right behind. I've got a great view of this elf with the fake titties. But that I can see kind of like bouncing around through the leaves of her dress, right? And so I'm running behind her, and I'm rock hard, and there's just like pre-cum is just leaking out of me, right? And I'm sprinting, and they're going,
come with us, come with us.
And we get to this clearing, and they're doing like a dance, like around a maypole, and this woman elf with the gigantic fake titties, she rips open her tube top, and her big fake titties pop out, and she's got, her nipples are pierced, and she's like beckoning me to come over. She's like,
come to me, come dance with me, come dance with me, come dance with me.
And I'm just like drawn out, just like hypnotized and drawn out fully naked in these woods. And I go to hug her and like hold her and embrace her, and she disappears. And I look around and everybody disappears and they're all gone. Like it was a mirage. And I look down and I had roped all over myself. I'm just covered from head to toe in clown. I'm looking around under the light of the moon, totally naked. And I'm like, oh man, where the fuck am I? And I really am lost. So I'm starting to panic a little bit. I'm like, oh shit, like I was pretending that I was hiding, and that was all fun and games because I was in control of that. Now I'm actually lost. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? So I'm like rustling in the bushes, like looking up behind trees, like looking for these elves, because I'm like, where the fuck did they go? Just my mind is completely blown of like what just happened to me. And I'm wandering around trying to find my way home by the light of the moon. And I just end up like for hours and hours and hours, I'm just wandering around this forest, butt-ass naked, load blown, feeling like drained, empty, and humiliated. totally exhausted, feel like I just never going to get back, completely dejected, end up right back at that same clearing that I started. I'm like, fuck. I drop to my knees. I fall down, lay on the ground. I'm like, I'm just going to sleep here on the ground until the sun rises, and then hopefully I'll be able to get a better idea of how to get back. And so as I'm laying on the ground, something hits my nose. I could get a whiff of something, and I could smell it, and it smells like blast. It smells like a little bit of cum is on the ground. And I look up, and I see a little bit of my pre-cum on a leaf. I'm like, oh, shit. And I look a little bit further, and I see a little bit more pre-cum. I'm like, oh, shit. So I follow this trail of pre-cum back to my hiding place, like using my nose as a guide, basically like a hound dog. And I go to my hiding place. I put my clothes back on. I walk back to my house. The police are there. Everybody's like, oh, God, thank God you're back. What happened? And I just told them, I'm like, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. I just got lost. I went for a walk. I got lost. That's it. That's it. And I just walk right past them. Like, my wife wants to give me a hug, and my kid is like, where have you been? I just walk right past them. I go upstairs, and I go to sleep. And I have just an extraordinarily restful sleep where I don't wake up one time, and I don't dream at all. And I wake up very refreshed. Confused, but refreshed. And that's my fantasy.
Wow, incredible. Do you think you ever go back to the place you built?
No, I think that was kind of like a lesson to me. You know, I feel like there's a moral to that story of like, if I cry wolf and pretend that I'm lost, I'm actually going to get lost one day. You know, it's kind of like, be careful what you wish for.
How far was that trail of pre-com?
Mm-hmm.
Must have been about 2 clicks. It was far.
So you're kind of like you have some tracking skills in that.
Yeah, you're like a truffle pig.
Yeah. I just know what my...
And you smelt the pre-cum that was dangling on the tree.
Exactly, yeah. That's There's not nothing exactly. else like it. I mean,
it's not normal.
Let's be real. There's nothing else that smells quite like...
Mm-hmm. That's rope, true.
You know?
I'm smelling it now that even just thinking about it, it's like summoning it. I could smell, smell it like the first time right now.
Musky, almost like rotten, something like very pungent about it in an unpleasant way.
Mm-hmm.
Unmistakable. And you know, like, it's just you're when you're in that place of desperation, your senses get heightened in a way that you didn't think possible. I didn't think I was ever going to make it back alive. I thought I was going to die out there. That begs Sounds another like question. Like... Were these elves even real? Or was it just a figment of my imagination? Or was it just something, you know, some kind of other forces trying to teach me a lesson? Who could know?
I don't know. It seems like it could be, was it a dream? No, because you were really lost out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's I was really lost out there.
The pre-cum was real.
Yeah.
Were you still covered in clown when you got back?
Oh, absolutely. That was
okay, so
that
it
was
did
disgusting.
Happen. Something happened out
I mean,
there.
I definitely came. I definitely leaked.
Were they trying to hurt you? Do you think they were trying to hurt you?
No,
I don't. Was it a trick, or what happened? Why'd they
disappear? I think it was a trick. Like there were some kind of spirits, and they're toying with me. They're like toying with a mortal. They're maybe trying to tell me something. Maybe the reason they disappeared is because I did something wrong, or I wasn't pure of heart, or whatever. Who knows? They operate in different rules, but. I do know is I definitely had pre-cum. I definitely sprayed clown all over myself. Whether or not the elves were actually there, or if I imagined it, or what, you know,
makes people like wonder, like, what else is out there?
Exactly.
God, there's so much mystery. There's so much that humans can't understand.
Yeah,
and I've always found that mushrooms and other psychedelics really open your perception to like receive them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Psilocybin mushrooms. Ayahuasca, these things people take and it heals them, and modern science doesn't want you to know about it. And that's always been fascinating to me. I've always been fascinated and drawn to people that go on these amazing journeys, that do these amazing things. I've always been fascinated like that, because a part of me wants to know. I believe that there's an answer out there, and the answer is actually within. And it just takes a certain kind of psychotropic, nootropics, call it whatever you will, supernatural. How we're gonna get out of this situation we're in? I mean, guys, we got to get it together.
Yeah, I think it's cool what the different things that are revealed to you. Like, for me, it was the elf with big-ass titties. For somebody else, it could have been, like, I don't know, an ogre with a bone, and the ogre beats you, your body and genitals, and that's pleasant for you in some way. Who knows? It could be something, different things for different people, but it taps into, connects something with your subconscious and brings it forward.
And you can't deny that there's something there. I mean, you really can't deny it.
Exactly.
With all of the stories that are out there, all the mythology, the legends, I mean, just how do you, UFOs, all this stuff, psilocybin mushrooms, MDA, MDMA, all that stuff, nootropics, elixirs, athletic greens, CBD, I mean, all that stuff has the power to vastly expand your mind. Fentanyl, all that stuff. It's actually good for you.
Yeah. Mm. John, have you ever roped on the forest floor?
I have. Yeah, I've had sex in the woods times.
Yeah.
Never jacked off by my... I have jacked off outside multiple times. Never, like, deep in a forest. It was, like, behind a house or something.
Yeah. There's something very liberating about it.
A parking lot.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
When I used to sleep over, spend the night at Mike's house, I used to go... underneath his, he had a front porch, and there was like a little space underneath his stairs out there. I used to go there and jack off.
I've jacked off the mics before.
The thing, Nathan would come over, even when he was like, we're talking like eighth grade. In the middle of the night, he'd always get super agitated, and there's nothing I could do. There's nothing my mom could do to calm him down. We put a hot rag on him. We held him down. It's happened every single time. Only thing that would work is, like, he's got to figure it out himself, and he'd usually just go wander underneath those stairs, do his business, come back, and we'd watch, you know, RoboCop 2 or whatever that was on cable. Those were some of the best times I remember.
Yeah. I remember your older brother had a way of just, like, I would get agitated, and he had a way of holding me. That made me feel calm enough to figure, you know, get it together enough to go out to underneath those stairs.
He had those big hands like my dad. Mm-hmm. He had hands that were so huge. And when he wrapped those things around you, it was just like a human blanket around you.
Yeah.
I've never seen you more content. It just, you melted.
Yeah. It's like a warm bath.
I think I'm ready to go.
All right.
John, you want to go or do you want me to go?
No, you can go.
All right. This one's called The Night Plumber. Okay. So, kind of a young guy. A lot of my fantasies focus on me in a happier time of my life when I was younger and free. This fantasy is no exception. I live in the city and I'm a barista. Happiest I've ever been was being a barista. Not like now. And let's just say in this fantasy, I have two roommates. One, his name is Roger. The other, his name, Terry. And I look up to them. They're a lot stronger than I am. You see, I'm someone who falls in love a lot, and that's my biggest problem. Did I mention that I'm a barista? Yes. Okay, and they bully me because I'm always falling in love, and it's pathetic, and I always see them scoring all the time, Roger and Terry. Like, sometimes they score together in front of me, like at parties. One time, there was a party, and they basically had an orgy in front of me, and I was just, like, so scared on the couch, I couldn't move. I just had to watch the whole thing happen. They were having sex on top of me, around me, spraying all over me, all this sort of stuff. I've just always been, like, scared and, like, basically didn't move, and I, like, wet myself. One night, I hear a knock at my door as I'm sleeping in my tiny little room. I'm just so scared I don't answer it. And then I hear someone knocking on the door to the room next to me, which is Roger's room. And I hear him open the door. I hear a small conversation. I hear the footsteps, and they go to... I hear them open the door and go into the back porch. And I sneak out of my room. And I see this beautiful woman with dark hair, bright cheekbones, a stunning figure. She's breathtaking in every single way. And she's having sex with Roger against these drain pipes that kind of extend out on the back porch. And she's dressed up like a plumber. Did I mention that? But like a sexual plumber. So Daisy Duke overalls, tank top underneath. She has a hard hat on and a tool belt. And she's using a drill to stimulate his body. And he's chained up against these pipes. She gives him oral sex. He turns around and they have penis and vaginal intercourse while I'm watching. They don't know that I'm watching. He comes so hard that he rips the pipes out of the wall and water sprays down on both of them so that he can wrap his arms around her. And she looks back and gives him such a loving look. And they're basically crying. I've never seen anything like it. He ropes all on her back. And then she blows him again, which is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. He never got soft. And he roped again. And he was screaming. I literally saw his testicles like scooch up into his body. You know what I mean? Like there was nothing left. It's weird. I somehow saw his asshole like pulsating somehow. I don't even know how I was able to see it, but he was just like in a position that it was happening. I guess he had one leg up. He was a urinating dog. Anywho, I see him basically like he was possessed. He opens the door completely naked, a little bit of rope still streaming out of him, and in a dazed look on his face, totally pale. And he goes back into his room and goes to sleep. And I see the plumber woman, she's just fixing up the pipes as if nothing happened. And she walks by me too, doesn't even notice me, also has a ghost-like stare, walks out of the apartment. I'm at the cafe and I'm doing my regular work. Middle of the day, I see all three of them walking down the street. The woman plumber just wearing a trench coat. And Terry and Roger are just talking to her and they're all just like talking like normal people or whatever. They completely ignore me. They come in the cafe. They brought coffee from somewhere else. They're drinking it in there and then they don't even look at me. They just walk out. Okay, next day, similar thing happens. This time it's Terry's turn. I hear a knock on my door. I'm terrified. I'm basically wet the bed because I'm like conditioned like when any possibly sexual happens, I like wet myself. And I hear Terry come out. This time they're in the kitchen. Terry's got his head under the sink on his back. And she's riding him cowboy style. And she's just using a monkey wrench to smash the sink above his head. All this water's coming down, suffocating him. While he's basically convulsing like a bucking bronco. While having sex missionary style. Bouncing this person into the air, it seems. You know what I mean? While she's smashing this sink, there's metal chips and look, there's glasses in the sink flying everywhere. There's water pouring all over the floor. He passes out. She drags him out by his feet and then like sits on his face and urinates on him while giving him a blowjob. And then he like sprouts to life and ropes are just like hitting the ceiling fan and spraying everywhere. Okay. And big old glops are just splashing down in the water. And me, I'm like hiding like around the corner. And I see them, and it's the same thing. Both pale face, they go back. Terry goes back to his room, and the woman leaves the apartment after fixing up the sink. And it's like as if nothing happened. I finally confront them. I come home from work, and they're doing bong rips and playing Nintendo or something like that. I don't understand video games, so I don't know. It's for children, dumbasses. I don't understand video games. I think it's for like mentally ill and like kind of people who are afraid of women. And they're playing video games and I confront them and I start stomping my foot in front of them. I'm like, I'm not going to get out of the way of the TV until you tell me what's going on with that plumber. You know what I mean? Being a real little bitch about it. And they're like, bro, get out of the way. We're seriously going to kick your ass. I don't know what you're talking about. I say, yes, you do. Last night, this plumber woman. And they're like, plumber woman? What are you? They look at each other and they're laughing at me, trying to make me feel like I'm crazy. What is a plumber woman? Needless to say, they get towels and like restrain me in that way so they don't hurt my body, tie me up in these wet towels, and I just like fall asleep. And I hear the knocking again, and this time I'm like, I want to find out, but I couldn't because I was all towels tied up in the towels. And I think all three of them had sex that time on top of a radiator, and they just ripped the radiator out of the wall and she repaired it. That's what I imagine happened. That's what it sounded like. I don't really know. Okay, so at the cafe again, the plumber woman comes in and orders a coffee, and I say, here you go. This one's on me because I know you're friends with Terry and Roger. She says, I don't know who you're talking about. Terry and Roger, the people you've had sex with. And she says, and then my manager's behind me and busts my ass and is like, are you harassing the customers again, Michael? You know what I mean? And she apologizes for me. She's like, I'm sorry, he's new, even though I've been working there for 4 years. And she's like, this is why you're never going to be a floor manager. Okay. At nighttime, my door knocks. And this time I'm ready. I have been doing push-ups all night. I've been drinking. I took home like 4 cups of coffee. So I'm like really amped up, extremely horny and terrified and scared. I open the door and it's like I am put under a spell. Her eyes are glowing. And there she is wearing Daisy Duke's overalls with a tank top and an orange construction hat and a tool belt with tools that aren't even plumber tools, like a tape measure, X-Acto blade, like flimsy paper scissors, couple like pens that are like Prismacolor markers, if that makes sense, like expensive markers that you wouldn't be using for blending. And She takes my hand and leads me to the bathroom. I'm like, oh, this is where it happens. And it's like I become possessed too. I look in the mirror. I'm actually have the body that I want. I look like who I want to be. And I'm become a raging sexual animal. We go to the bathtub and I'm actually holding on to the shower faucet, like away from the woman. And she's giving me a reach around and I'm just spraying hot water like in my face. It's turning all red. Like it hurts so much. And she's wearing her full outfit and it's just getting soaked and you can like see through her clothes. It's extremely hot. And I bust so hard that I like rip the faucet out of the wall and I fall back and I'm just laughing hysterically, like the fakest, weirdest laugh you've ever heard. She takes me to the toilet, sticks my head in it. And then like my head's in the toilet and then she's actually laying on her back and then giving me a oral sex on the floor in one of the weirdest positions. Like her hands are on my bottom and she's like lifting up. Does that make sense, guys? Okay, yeah. And her legs are like upward against the wall and she's squirting and the squirt is like hitting the back of my head and filling the toilet up so that I'm like suffocating. Okay. Oh, also she's holding the toilet lid down like on the back of my neck so I can't get out of there. Just flushing it over and over again. It breaks and like there's water all over the floor. Finally, it's sink time. She's sitting on the sink and she bangs her head on the mirror behind her and all the glass breaks into the sink. It's extremely dangerous and I bust right about that time. But right as I'm about to bust, she squeezes my penis so hard and doesn't let me bust until like it's like pointed into the glass, the broken mirror, and then I bust and it's one of the scariest sensations I've ever had in my life. And then I feel the call. I go back to my room. I don't say a word. And I know she leaves. I wake up the next morning. I go to the bathroom. It's like nothing happened. And everything looks perfect. I go to the cafe. Who do I see there? The plumber woman comes in again and she ignores me. She doesn't know who I am. And I start crying. I say, don't you remember? I've never felt like that with someone before. You know what I mean? She's like, I don't know who you are. My manager's holding me back. And I'm like, just tell me your name. She's like, I don't know who you are. Please leave me alone. And I'm screaming, just tell me your name. Tell me your name. She closes the door. And it's like, you can't hear me anymore, but you see my red face. Like, and I'm screaming, I want to date you. I want to date you. You know what I mean? Okay. Finally. Okay. So it happens again. Knocks on the door. I don't answer it because I'm pissed off. I'm like, fuck you. Yeah, fuck you. Why don't you screw Roger since you love Roger so much? She is having sex with Roger in the second bathroom that we have in our apartment. And I go in there with a baseball bat. I just start smashing stuff all around them. And I just basically beat the shit out of Roger with a baseball bat. Terry comes in and I start attacking him too. And I finally physically dominate these two men. And the woman's looking at me scared. And I lift up the bat and I'm like, oh my God, who have I become? And then after that, the plumber woman never comes back to our apartment. And they're both super pissed at me. They're acting really mean. They start eating all my food. You know what I mean? One of them shits in my bed. One of them tries to hit me with the car. They glue broken glass to my door handle. Very unwanted there. But I'm like, you fucking sons of bitches. You know what I mean? You brought this on yourself. So when they're asleep, I basically systematically terrorize them. One time Terry's drunk asleep and I get a wet towel and I basically waterboard him. I waterboard him and I said, I'm only going to stop waterboarding you until you come for me. Okay, so he masturbates in front of me and I videotape it just so he'll never fuck with me again. And then the other roommate, I videotape him having sex with his own mother. And I use that as blackmail so that like I've like fully dumbed them. Even after beating their butts, I have this stuff on them. And then I just start sleeping with their girlfriends because like whenever they bring home a woman, they know they have to surrender them to me or else I'll show them these videotapes. And at that point, I'm like surging with confidence because I like just don't care about love or sex anymore. And then one day I'm out just running along the lake, just pumping completely full of testosterone and anger and just like dominating power. And I see the plumber woman on a bench with a guy and they're both laughing. And I can just tell that they're in love and that she found someone. And it just breaks me apart. I lost the will. I lost that feeling. I don't know what it is anymore. Sure, I get to have sex with my roommate's girlfriends whenever I want. But at what price? Was it worth it? Who am I now? And what steps do I need to take to get back there? The end.
The Night Plumber. That sounds like a stories that people that horny boys will tell each other at camp, you know?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I can't get
To me it does.
I can't get the image of anus. Because I can picture it somehow.
Yeah.
Like he's standing like he's getting a standing blowjob, but he's leaning back in such a way that you can see his ass too.
I think his leg was up maybe like on a windowsill, like on a back porch of his Chicago apartment. And he's kind of maybe he's gotta be like bending over a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. It also reminded me of that movie Bully.
It's a good one. I was just thinking about that actress that was in it that was never in anything else after that. What is her name?
Macaulay Culkin's ex-wife.
I think so. Yeah, she's like some New York scenester that just completely evaporated.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But no, yeah, Nathan, you're right. A sexy plumber. It's just a...
Like if you do... If you do a certain thing, you know, say the right thing, a sexy plumber will come visit you at night, you know, and like do yeah, whatever it's like you
candy
want.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. I don't know. This one just hit me. I don't know why. I'm supposed to say this at the end of the story. And this actually happened to me. And if you don't believe me, I will literally find you, tie you down, and beat your ass from head to toe with a police baton. I don't fucking care if you don't believe me, but I will fucking kill you if you don't believe me. Do you understand me, bro?
I like that.
Just throwing more weird vibes in. If someone is like angry. Someone told you just an amazing story. There's no way it's true. And then threatens you if you don't believe them.
You're like, fine. Yeah, no, I believe you. That's cool. Sounds pretty fun. I think about your journey in that story. I think about what the night plumber taught you. And it's kind of like what you're saying about mine. It's like, was the night plumber even real? Or was she just there to show you kind of like to build your confidence, you know, to actualize your identity to the point where you were able to physically restrain and brutally beat your roommates and sexually humiliate them repeatedly? You know, these guys that made you feel scared to be a sexual person through their constant orgies and coming on you, like you, this night plumber gave you the confidence to retaliate against them in a very powerful way.
It's a cool premise to have, you know, a traumatizing thing that happened to you when you were a kid is a bunch of your friends came on you. Or that's a secret that comes out when you're all older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hooked from the jump.
Thanks, man. It just came to me. I knew I had something.
Well, you know, it was also like just structurally very like a compelling narrative structure, you know, that kept me from like, okay, I know the night plumber is coming back. You know, what's he gonna do tonight when the night plumber comes back? What's gonna happen the next day at work when she inevitably shows up? Yeah. It's just really a really gripping kind of way to communicate a sexual idea.
Thanks, man.
Okay, so I'm a low-level weed dealer, and weed is about to be legalized, and I owe my main dealer like $50,000. He knows that it's gonna pass, so he's been sending me texts like, "You owe me $50,000. As soon as this happens, like I'm out. I need to be paid, you know, or else they'll kill me." So I go visit him. I have three grand, and it's like him and his crew are there. Like eight guys. There's just like a lot of money on the table. There's guns everywhere. I tell him I've got a couple thousand he can have, and I'll get them later. And he pulls out his gun.
Oh, John, what the fuck are you gonna do?
He puts it at my head, on my forehead. They're watching Unfaithful. It's just like on the TV, just in the background, you know. So he's got the gun in my head. Everyone's kind of laughing, like, kill this white boy and shit. He puts it down to my mouth. He makes me suck on it. I'm just sucking on the barrel of a gun. And then one of his guys gets up. He's got like an AK-47. He's just behind me. And they're like prodding me with the tips of the gun, like my rib cage. It's like it's ticklish. And I kind of just, they eventually just kind of pushed me off the couch. So I'm like, I'm on all fours. Roof. There's like eight guys around me. Everyone's got a gun on me. And guys like suck all of them. Just like, they start, they suck on each gun. He's like, grab that one. Grab that tip. I grab with my right hand. I'm jacking off this guy's gun. My other hand's jacking off another gun, and I'm just bobbing on this little pistol this guy has, like a really tiny little gun. And I was like, what can I do, you know, to end this? And he looks at the screen and sees Diane Lane, and he's like,
I want to sniff her pussy. Like, I just want a whiff of that.
I was like, how the fuck am I gonna do that? And he's like,
I don't know, but you got a week to do it.
So I leave. I get a plane ticket to Hollywood. I fly in, buy a map of the stars, you know, like on the street, find out where she lives. I go up there. He's got a maid. Maid's like, he's filming something right now. I don't even know where she's at. So I ask around. I find out that they're filming Under the Tuscan Sun 2, the film, it's a sequel. I find out they're on like the Warner Brothers lot. Sort of sneak in there. I see her. I say, hey, Diane, I'm John. I'm a huge fan. Any chance I could buy you a cup of coffee? She's like, yeah, I'm waiting to film a scene. Let's go. She's very sweet. So we go to Starbucks. We just chit chat. And I tell her the situation. And she's really super sympathetic. I tell her, like, you know, I need a pair of your panties or something just so this guy won't kill me. And she's like, no, I want to help you, but you need to help yourself. Like, you're a grown man. She's like, I just can't. Just leave me out of this. Like, I don't want this on my hands.
I want to.
Like, you know, I understand. Shit. She gives me a hug. She kisses my forehead, and she pokes my head. And she's like, "You're better than this. Just, you know what to do." I'm like, "All right." So I give her the hug. I start walking away. Sniff that. And she's like, "Hey, John, turn around." She's like, "Just an FYI. Most people can't tell the difference between PJ and AJ." And then she just kind of shrugs at me and smiles. And I'm like, oh, damn.
Oh, okay.
I go back to the dealer's house. And, go back to the dealer's house, and he's like, what you got for me? And I was like, I don't. I was like, I'm empty-handed. I don't want you to kill me, but I think you should just, like, let this go. You know, it's not worth it. And he's like, oh, yeah? And I'm like, yeah. And he gets his gun out. He cocks it. And I just think about what she said, and I reach back into my sweatpants, and I stick two fingers in my ass. I pull them out, and I put them right under his nose. I'm like, is this what you wanted? And he's like, he cocks back, fucking flinches really hard, and he's like, is that your ass? I'm like, yeah, that's me. He's like, what the fuck? Why'd you do that? And I was like, smell it again. He sniffs it again. What the fuck? And I'm like, seriously, smell it. I put it in his nostrils. And he's like, oh, fuck. I look down and it gets hard. And I was like, are we gonna end this or what? And he's like, yeah, just give me a minute. And he pulls his dick out, jacks off. He sprays clown on his carpet. I'm like, are we straight? And then he's like, he looks at me, he's like, crazy ass white boy. He's like, we straight. And then I leave. That's it.
It was you the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, Diane Lane just pointed that out. What? Just gave you a nudge, and you took it the rest of the way.
I watched that movie. I stopped watching that movie to do the podcast. I had nothing today, and then I saw her, and I was like, God, I'd love to smell that.
Unfaithful.
That's the muse.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. She's fine.
One of my notes is, I paused for a moment and realized that her pussy is no better than my ass.
I thought when you were walking away from her, she says, hey, John, you turn back. I thought you were going to do that thing where she gestures like, keep your head up. But what you said was pretty cool, too. You know, there's not much difference between PJ and AJ. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, both of you did really complicated fantasies that end up with someone finding something about themselves on the inside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really throws you for a loop. You don't know where it's going to go, but they both end up in a similar place. I thought it would be cool that you know, when in movies where they'll have someone like test cocaine. Yeah. Yeah. And they'll be like, this is so good. And then they'll stick two fingers in a wine and then sniff it. I wonder if there was a way to like incorporate AJ into that.
Yeah. Somehow. Yeah.
You know, like someone does a line of coke, sticks their hand in the back of their pants, or no, they have an assistant. They stick their hand in their pants and then do that thing with their fingers.
Yeah. I thought you were going to put on a thong and let it get all nasty. And then you bring it back to them. It's clearly stretched out to like a grown man's ass on it. And, the drug dealer gives it to like one of his cronies to smell first. And he's like, it's good, man. It's good.
Yeah,
totally. You know what else I like?
Really,
what's that?
And this is something that's beautiful. When you had those guys basically gangbanging you with their guns.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have to have them have their cocks out. And we all knew what was happening there. Mm-hmm. You know? It was almost even more hot, sexier.
Yeah.
Because it was dangerous.
I can't wait to edit that together.
What do you envision?
I don't know. Well, so I picture everyone's in sweatpants. Very bright in there. Like, there's no shade. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like early morning. Like 10 a.m. sun, you know?
That's horrible.
Nobody slept.
Yeah, everyone's just up, you know?
Yeah.
I'm turned on, too, a little bit, slightly, you know?
Yeah.
That seemed like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like it could go down. It was on the verge of being a gangbang.
An actual blowjob thing.
Which was a really good tease. Gets people tensed up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Teases them. And then you find it's just about you and this guy you owe money to. And who gave you a huge leeway of $50,000?
Yeah.
Weed. I mean, he liked you.
And that ass. Your AJ.
That is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Your AJ is effectively worth $47,000 to this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, wow. Look at it that way.
Like, to get a whiff of you. Because, and so, okay, imagine for a second. What this guy's life is like. Maybe that was the first time that he got hard in God knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
And it was worth it to him. Now he knows you unlocked a secret. That $47,000 wasn't just because he thought it was the right thing to do to let it go. No, you gave him the secret, unlocked the secret of his own sexuality.
Yeah,
which
but
was
laid
dormant for
I
years.
Think he might still kill me, you know?
Ugh, yeah.
Now that he knows that AJ smells just as good as pussy, if you let it sit mm-hmm. long enough,
yeah,
I'll probably end up dead.
You just got to get out of Cleveland at that point.
Yeah,
yeah. He does own you then. Still, call a favor anytime you want.
Hey, can I show
unless
you guys?
Unless it was that good.
Can I show you guys this drawing I did? It's an energy drink. It's called Dildo Summer.
Okay.
Is that what you was that what you were doing when Mike was talking?
Yeah, I've been doing this whole time.
I wasn't sure if you were writing notes or not. That looks good.
Yeah, thanks. I chose a color palette that I thought would impress Mike.
Let's see it again. Yeah, it looks really refreshing.
Yeah.
300 milligrams of caffeine.
So these rat pictures you keep drawing really they honestly make me uncomfortable. They're really disturbing pictures. They're scary. They scare me.
Yeah. Should I describe them?
Yeah. What is this?
I got this character I've been drawing a lot called Happy Harold, and it's this rat who's buff, and he's like a buff tattooed rat with a giant dick that's constantly hard, and he like grabs it in a very forceful way that clearly pushes all the blood up to the head. And he's
just even hearing.
He's got an aggressive demeanor, and but it's it's like fun and playful still in a way. You know, it's like it's definitely threatening.
Yeah, it's sick.
It's
fucking insane.
But he's got a mullet, and he's got earrings, and he's got like a cross, like an Irish cross tattoo on his chest, and a spiderweb tattoo, and a snake tattoo on his forearm. And he's just doing crazy stuff with his cum. Like the one I'm looking at, he's spraying a path of cum on the ground and surfing on it, like Silver Surfer.
Mm-hmm.
It scares me.
Should I stop?
No.
Subjecting you to them?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, I feel like it's really pushing to the limit. You know?
Oh, good. Yeah.
So it's a good place to be. You want to feel a little scared.
Yeah.
You know. And that's
our lives are too comfortable.
These are definitely doing that. These pictures you're sending me are definitely doing that.
Yeah.